Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Mem. We're continuing in our beautiful discussion of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Again, for those that may not have listened yesterday, Baruch Hashem, I was zochah to write a sefer on Bikur Cholim, where I go into these Gemaras in much more detail and translate them, as well as the Shulchan Aruch, as well as bring in other interesting ideas. So, again, for those that are interested in a deeper dive, certainly there are many, many sources to go and see this. But we'll try to, Mitzvah Hashem, go through this Gemara in the short time that we have in as detailed a way as we can. So we pick up on the very last line of Lamites Omud Beis, with the story of Rav Chelbo. Rav Chelbo Cholash, Rav Chelbo Nebuch got sick. Nofak, Ichriz Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana went out and announced to the public, hey, Rav Chelbo was sick. We turn to Daf Mem Omud Aleph. Rav Chelbo Boish. The Mefarish says that the word Boish means Chola, but he says, V'is the Garse Boish. And there are those that have the Girsa over here that he had a fever. Now Rashi elsewhere also has the Girsa. The cholish means shechola, he got sick, and the Rosh over here brings down pirush cholah as well, as he brings down from the Gemara Bamei Madlikin. Those are doing the Mishnah Yomis, they're going through Bamei Madlikin right now. So he says, min kodom b'isha b'shabbos. From in front of a person who is sick on Shabbos, you're allowed to go and remove the flame. Okay, in any event, Rav Chelbo was sick. So Rav Kahana announced this, but lo ika de ko asi, but nobody came to do the mitzvah bikur cholim. Now this is of course very, very strange. Why would nobody come to do the mitzvah bikur cholim? And the next story we're going to have as well, it seems that nobody went to go and visit one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So I saw two explanations of why this might be the case. So the Shalmi Nedarim brings down that we're going to learn later on in the Gemara that certain types of illnesses that a person has, for someone to visit them and talk to them is actually painful for the chola. And therefore, if somebody has, for example, gastrointestinal illness, or if somebody has a bad headache, so speaking is actually harmful to the person who's sick. They don't want to speak to anybody. They just want to close their eyes and go to sleep if they can. So therefore, that's why the Shalmei Nedarim says nobody visited these people, either Rav Chelbo or the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva that we'll learn about in a minute, because they had an illness which most people thought you shouldn't go and visit them because you're actually going to make things worse for them. It'll be uncomfortable for them. The Iyun Yaakov brings down a second reason. He says the people mistakenly thought from yesterday's Gemara that if they weren't a Ben Gilo, if they weren't born under the same mazel, then there's no point in going for the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. So they mistakenly thought that they shouldn't go and visit him. In either event, whether it's the reason of the Shalmei Nedarim or the reason of the Iyun Yaakov, they were wrong. And as the Gemara tells us, lo iko de ka'asi, even though nobody came to visit Rabbi Chelbo, Rav Kahana said to everybody, Amalahu, lo kacho yamaisa, hey, why aren't you coming to visit? Don't you know the famous story of Rabbi Akiva? What happened? B'talmud echod mitalmide Rabbi Akiva shechola. There once was a student of Rabbi Akiva. Imagine being a student of Rabbi Akiva. You must have been a pretty great Talmud yourself. So this Talmud of Rabbi Akiva got sick, Nebuch, and lo nichnesu chacham levako, and nobody came to visit him. Again, mistalmud for the reasons of the Iyun Yaakov, there was nobody ben Gilo, so they thought it didn't pay to go, or they assumed that he had, like the Shalmei Nedarim, some sort of an illness that actually visitation would be harmful to the person, it would be painful to the person, and that's why nobody went. But Rabbi Akiva wanted to teach them that's incorrect. There are other aspects besides talking to the person, besides trying to remove their illness, there are other aspects of Bikur Cholim that are critically important, such as davening for the person, which the Ramban brings down as an ikur essential component of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, and is brought by the Ramban in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed Hei in Yeridaya. If you don't go and visit the sick person and daven at the bedside, you haven't done the mitzvah completely. So that's a very important idea. But also, the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Bikur means to be mevaker, to investigate, to evaluate, to check out what are the needs of the cholah. So yeah, you don't have to speak with them because speaking to them is painful. But you can go see, is the room dirty? Can you go see, do they have a stocked refrigerator? Can you go see, is there proper medical care being provided? So all of those things are included in the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, even if you're not going to talk to them and cause them tsar. So Rabbi Akiva wanted to teach this. So he himself went. The nichnas Rabbi Akiva levakro himself. He himself went. There is a suggestion that said that he sent people to go investigate, but the simple reading of the Gemara is that he himself went to go and visit this Talmud. Obishvil shekibdu viribtsu lufanav chaya. And because either Rabbi Akiva arranged, that's the Girsa of shekibdu viribtsu, that he arranged for other people to go and take care of these basic needs of the mace to keep the house in good shape, to sweep the floor. Ravatz means to go and remove the dust. They had dust floors, dirt floors, and it would get very dusty, so they have to pat them down with either water or sometimes they would use fine wine to give it a nice aroma. So he, Rabbi Akiva, made sure that other people took care of this. But if you look in the Girsa and the Hagos Vitziyunim, Os Alep, it says, Shekibe Veribi, it's Rabbi Akiva, Bechvodo V'atzvo, he himself went and swept the floor and added water or wine to the floor to settle all the dirt in its place. So what happened? Amalo, this student told Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, Hechisani, you saved my life. Without you, I don't know what would happen. I might have died. Rabbi Akiva saw how much an important the mitzvah of going to see the sick person is yourself. Yotzer Rabbi Akiva Darish. Rabbi Akiva went out and he darshened publicly to everybody. Call me Sheino Mevaker Cholim Kilu Shofich Domim. If you don't go, call me Sheino Mevaker Cholim. If you don't go yourself, not always via somebody else, if you don't yourself go and be Mevaker Cholim, it is if you caused bloodshed. Now, how exactly does this work? So Mefarish explains, because if you don't go, in the top line, in the Mefarish, Kilu Shofich Domim, Bibnei Shibnei Adam, Shinichnosin Levakro, Osim Lo Lechola Kol Tzrochav. As I pointed out, part and parcel of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is to check out the needs of the Chola. Does he have food? The guy might be starving. Nobody's brought him food. He's in isolation. He has no food. He may not have anybody go out and get the food for him, so he's run out of food. In those days, when they didn't have hospitals, was somebody taking care of his medical needs? Is somebody taking care of his basic hygienic needs? So there are so many things that you can do to be mevaker, the bikur, to go and see for yourself what the chola needs. And as you see in the Rosh, he said that Rabbi Akiva either arranged or did this sweeping up. Lefnei chola bitziva Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva made sure that all the needs of the chola were taken care of. And therefore, part of the essential mitzvah, the Rosh says, is ki hanichnas levaker es hachola, the one who goes to visit the chola, mifakeach kol tzrochav umchayehu, goes and takes care of all of his needs that might not be taken care of, and as a result, he causes a person to survive, allows the person to live. So that's one of the essential purposes of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And this applies even if it's like the Iyun Yaakov and the Shamin Adorim had said, even if it's not Ben Gilo, even if it's a person who you can't talk with because speaking with them is going to be giving them pain, so you won't speak with them, but you'll take care of all of their needs. You let them sleep, and you go take care of all of their needs. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva announced very publicly, very famously, Kol mi she'ein mevaker cholim kilu shofich dam. If you don't go, you're considered as if you yourself are a rotzeach. You caused his blood to be spilled. Kiyosar of the Imi, when the Imi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Omar, he said over the following, call him Avakir Esachola, if you go and do Bikur Cholim, Gorim Lo Shichya, in accord with what we just said about Rabbi Akiva, so if you go and check out the needs of the Chola, you evaluate what they need, so you will cause that person to live, Gorim Lo Shichya. B'chas v'sholem, b'chos she'en Avakir Esachola, if you don't do this, if you don't investigate the needs of the Chola, Gorim Lo Shiyomus, you could in fact cause him, Rachmona Litzlan, to die. Now, how does this work? So the Gemara says, my grandma, exactly, how are you causing him to either live or to die? So we understand, if you go and visit, if you're telling me that you're doing the essential mitzvah of davening by the bedside, and therefore you're causing the person to live by going to visit him, does that mean that if you don't go and visit him, you're davening for the person to die? If I don't go there, I'm davening that he should die? That's ridiculous. Would anybody think that just because I didn't go to visit him, I davened for him to die? That doesn't make any sense to understand it that way. So what was Radimi saying? What exactly does that mean? So Moore says this is what it means. Here we're talking about, in addition to checking out the needs, evaluating the needs of the sick person, but here we're talking about the important requirement to go daven at the bedside. And as I pointed out, the Ramban quotes this and brings this down as an essential component of the mitzvah. The Rama in Shulchan Aruch codifies this lahalacha, that you must daven. I tell doctors all the time, people going at the bedside of a sick patient, when you leave the room, you should say, May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant you a refuah shleima. If it's not a Jewish patient, you're still supposed to do this. You have to be mevakeh cholim as well as non-Jewish people, so you won't say Hashem. You say, May God grant you a fast and speedy full recovery. Depending on the person, you can really make a tefillah for them in their presence, and they'll appreciate it. And that's an essential component of the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. If you don't go there, then you can't daven by the bedside. And if you're davening by the bedside, you see how sick the person is, your tefillah is much better. There's a huge difference between a person hearing that somebody's sick and, okay, I say a shir malos on their behalf. And I'm going to see, Nebuch, how sick the person is. And you daven with much more bread. You daven with much more fire. You daven with much more kavana. So therefore, if you don't go, kol she'enu mavakir chola, enu mavakir shel rachmi, you're not going to daven with the same intensity. Lo she'yichyev, lo she'yomos. And here we have an amazing statement of the Gemara. You won't daven with that intensity, not that he should live or not that he should die. And the Ran here has something which is a very, very difficult and unusual Ran to understand. And let's read this entire Ran inside because it's so important. The top Ran, Ein Mavakesh Olav Rachman, Lo Shiyichle, Lo Shiyomus, Nir Biena, the Ran passes this. None of the other Rishonim passed this. Albeit the Aruch HaShulchan, the Achron, the great Aruch HaShulchan, paskins this Ran LaHalacha. Albeit the vast, vast majority of the Achronim do not. I spoke momentarily about Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal and the Tzitzeliezer, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg's Zatzal, what their opinion was different than the Aruch HaShulchan. But let's see the Ran inside first. So the Ran says, Nir Biena, the Hochi Komar. This is what the Gemara is telling us. Pe'omim, there are times that you don't daven for a Rufua Shlema. Sometimes it's appropriate to daven that the chola should die. For example, the chola Nebuch is in pain. He's suffering a lot. And we don't have any medical therapies for him. And the Ran quotes this halacha lemaisa, and the Aruch HaShulchan does lemaisa, that if you see that the chola is in terrible distress and medicine has nothing Nebuch to offer for him, you actually are allowed to daven for him to die. And this is based upon the famous Gemara that we had not that long ago in Kesubas with Rebbe's death. Because I mean, in Perek Anose, the Kivin the Chazoy, Amase the Rebbe. Now, she saw the Rebbe had gastrointestinal problems, so he couldn't wear his tefillin all the time, so every time he had to go to the bathroom, he had to take them off, then he put them back on, take them off, put them back on. So she saw how much pain he was in, so she said, that people who want him to survive, all the people in this world, they should not win out against in Shemayim. They want to take Rebbe back. Kloma, the Lamus Rebbe, that she davened for Rebbe to die, and in fact, the Ran there quotes that she won out and Rebbe died. So therefore, the Ran paskins this halacha lemaisa. Umishum hochi ka'omar, that mevakir chola, mo'ilo betvilaso, afilu lichyos, b'mneishi yitvila yosem yuelis. Either you're going there to daven because your tefillah will be with much more intensity at the bedside, or misha eno mevakro in a tzorach lomar, she eno mo'ilis lichayos. And certainly, if somebody doesn't go there, he won't daven with that same intensity. El afilu hecha di'iko le'hanoa b'misa, but he's telling us that if you had gone there and saw how much pain he was in and that we have nothing to offer him medically, you would have davened for him to die. I feel also zutrasi in that little bit to help him die a little faster by your tefillah. Eino mahaneu. You didn't do it to help him. Now, I should point out, very important, you're not allowed to do anything halacha lemaisa, anything that will hasten his death. You're allowed to daven for him to die according to this Ran, according to Aruch HaShulchan, but you certainly, according to everybody, you're not allowed to do anything to actually hasten his death. You can't chas v'shalom pull the respirator. You can't choke him, rachmon lotzan. You can't give medicine that are intentionally done to go and hasten his death. Now, most poskim disagree with this Ran and the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Tzitzeliezer is very, very strong against it, says you're absolutely not allowed to. So I always try to take the middle approach, which is from Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says that what you should do is daven in this situation, that Hashem should do what's best for that person. And this way, if Hashem thinks it's best for this person, he suffered enough to take him, so let Hashem do that. But we shouldn't directly go and daven for somebody to die. And he points out, especially if you're a nogeba davar, if you're a child that's going to inherit, or if you're a child that is working very hard to take care of the parent, or working a tremendous amount of time by going to the hospital, and it's difficult for you, so you absolutely certainly shouldn't be the one to go daven for that person to die. He suggests, Rav Moshe suggests, that somebody's totally not a nogeya bedover, and he sees somebody suffering in pain, so then maybe that person might have a right to follow the Ran and the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, very, very important idea, but we have to go weiter. The Gemara continues and says, Rava, Yomo Kadmo, the Cholish, on the first day that he would get sick, or the first day somebody would get sick, Amalon, he would go and tell them, Lo Tigalu L'inish. Don't tell anybody. Why? The Lolisra Mazle, because you don't want to, quote, ruin my mazel. You don't want to ruin my luck. The Mefarish explains, the Duma mitzlana lialter, because maybe it'll get better. And now that the word is out that you're sick, so now you've basically been declared to be sick. I remember hearing from Rabbi Schoenfeld, Zatzal, and Fabian Schoenfeld, so he brought down that the minhag in Ger was that when they make a Mishaberach, they don't say, Mishaberach, Hosein Avraham Yisrach, Yivarech, Yirape es hachola. They would never say the word hachola, because once you call him a chola, now he's a chola. Maybe he's not a chola. He's just a little bit sick right now, but he's not chola. Once you call him a chola, now he's suddenly becoming chola. So therefore, That's why Rava didn't want people to know that he was sick, because now they're going to call him Chola, and the words almost take on a life of their own. The Rush adds over here, and he says, in Dibra Masu Dolis or Masle, the Nafal Tura Chadadu Sakini. He brings out more in Shabbos, that when the ox falls down, it's sick, so it's going to die. You better go shecht it, so sharpen your knife, because you don't want to take any chances and delay, and then the ox will die an actual death, and then you'll be in a lot of trouble. So therefore, when you would tell people that he's sick, so everybody's going to say, oh, Mustami is really sick, and that's going to be a bad thing. Furthermore, he adds, Ulai, bevakoshe mu'etes, shivaki sono ra'aso, maybe a person who doesn't like him is going to be happy about this and is going to, oh, thank God, this guy's finally getting what he's due. And that little bit of the tefillah, so to say, that the other guy is davening against him, yitosif cholyo, it's actually going to make him worse. So therefore, Rava said, don't announce on the first day that I'm sick. But then, mikam ve'elech, subsequently, second day, third day, etc., Amalon, he said to his servants, he would tell people, Puku, go out, v'achrizu, and publicly announce, b'shuka, in the marketplace, go and tell everybody that I'm sick. Because why? D'chol d'sonidli, anybody that doesn't like me, they hate me, ha, lechdili, they're going to be very, very happy. And you know what's going to happen? Because they're so happy, Hashem's going to say, b'nefo levecha al tismach v'gomer, and the v'gomer is, u'bikoshlo, don't be happy. The next pasuk says, "Pen Hashem." Hashem's going to see this. He's going to be very unhappy that you're davening for this guy to die. Then he should be olivapo. And you know what? He's going to make you unhappy. He's going to take his anger out on you. And you know what? Maybe you'll get sick and he'll get better. So therefore, Rava said, "Let my enemies be here about my news. They'll be happy, and that's actually a good thing for me." Uderachli, and those that really love me and that are concerned about me and have mercy on me, they're going to beg a Kosh Baruch Hu to get me better. So therefore, he says, beyond the first day, it's too late. I'm already a chola, so there's no benefit in not announcing it. Go and announce it. People that don't like me, they'll be happy, and that will actually be good for me, because Hashem will be mad at them, and it'll make me get better. Or the people that love me, they'll daven for me, and that will certainly be better for me. The Pesach Einayim brings down that this is what David HaMelech said in Tehillim. Yikadmuni biyom edi, vi Hashem l'mishon li. So David's enemies would go and visit him on the first day of his illness in order to go, so to say, ruin his mazel. And David said, oh, Baruch Hashem, yikadmuni biyom edi. They came to me on the day that I got sick. Oh, and therefore Hashem will help me. Now how exactly does it work that if people hear about this, they would somehow make his illness get worse? So the Maharsha explains two ideas. He says, number one, bris krusa l'svasayim, and then he adds, la'olam al yiftach odom piv l'sotan. That when you say something, boom, that's what it is. Like I mentioned from Schoenfeld, Zatzal, in the name of the Gary Rabbi, that you don't call somebody a chola when you make a Misha Berach, because that essentially turns him into a chola. And al yiftach pel l'sotan, you don't want to open up the mouth to the sotan. Woo, now I know that this guy's sick. Now I can go and cause trouble. Alternatively, when the enemies hear about this, they're going to be happy about this, and they're going to focus attention on this guy, and in Shemayim, they're going to say, ooh, does this guy deserve to be healed from his sickness? And maybe he won't have the merits to be healed from his sickness, and therefore, it's not a good thing to say that you're a sick person. At least not on day one, when it's still not yet well known. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav, Rav tells us, if somebody goes and does the Nitzabika Cholim, they get tremendous reward. Nitzol midina shel gehenim. They'll be themselves saved from gehenim. Gehenim is a fire. A sick person often has a fever, so it's mida keneged mida. That just like you went to help this person out to try to get him better from his fever, so Hashem will save you from the fires of gehenim. Shenemar. And this is based upon the pasuk that we have in Tehillim. Ashrei maskil el dol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ashrei, praiseworthy is the person whose maskil uses a sechel for the dal, for the poor person. Yom Ra'ah, on the day that he's in trouble, on the day that he'll face Ganim, Malte Hashem, Hashem will save him. Now, Ein Dal El Chola. We find the word Dal, well, it normally means a poor person. Here it refers to a Chola. Where do we see that? Two Pesukim. Shenemar, Midalo Yivatzeni. This is a Pasuk that we have in Yeshaya, where it says that when Chizkiyahu HaMelech got sick, so we know that nobody had ever been healed from that illness, and Yeshaya went to visit him. And Yeshaya tells him, you're going to die in this world, you're going in the next world because you didn't have children, and that's why you didn't get married, and that's why you're sick now. So it says, Midalo Yivatzeni. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to end your life with this sickness. Alternatively, that's where we see the word Midalo means sickness. Alternatively, Inami min Hodenkra, from this pasuk. This is a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, where it says, Maduato Kocha Dal Ben HaMelech Baboker Baboker. This pasuk is referring to the story of Amnon. Amnon was one of David's sons, who Nebuch had a taiva for his half-sister Tamar. And ultimately he goes and rapes her, Rachmona Litzlan, and he ultimately is killed by Avshalom. Now, Amnon had a friend, Yonadav, and Yonadav sees that he's sick, and he goes to him and says, Nu, what's going on? Why are you sick? Madua tokocha dal, why are you so sick? Dal means sick. Oh, there's the definition, dal meaning sick. Ben Amelech calls him the son of the king. Baboker, baboker, why are you so sick? You look terrible every morning. And before I should bring down, this wasn't a life-threatening illness that he had. It was a taiva that he had, but it wasn't life-threatening. So they learn from here that you have to go do the mitzvah b'kacholim, whether it's a life-threatening illness or not. We just brought down from Yeshaya visiting Chizkiah HaMelech, that was a life-threatening illness. And here we see from Yonadab and Amnon that even if it's not a life-threatening illness, you should go do the mitzvah b'kacholim. Gemara continues and tells us that the word ra men gehenim, ein ra ele gehenim. So how do we know that? In the pasuk, Ashri maskil eldo biyom ra yimalteu Hashem, on the day of gehenim, Hashem will save you. How do we know that the word ra means gehenim? Shenema, because we have another pasuk that says, kol poal Hashem lemaneu, v'gam rasha liyom ra. So this pasuk from Mishle tells us that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up in this world, kol poal Hashem is lemaneu, it's the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even the Gam Rasha, when a Rasha is punished, Leyom Ra, on the day that he's punished with Gehenim, that's also praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that the word Ra is a reference to Gehenim. So now we fully understand when Rav had said, call him Mavakar Sacholik, somebody does Biku Cholim, so Nitzel Medina Shal Gehenim, it's based upon this Pasuk. Furthermore, Rav says, V'im Biker Maschoro, if you do in fact do this, what will be your reward? Of course, says, what do you mean, what will be your reward? You just said, Nitzel Medina Shal Gehenim, Maschoro Kedama, Nitzel Medina Shal Gehenim. Why are you asking, what's the reward? So he says, no, this is what Rav meant. Elo maschoro ba'olam hazeh. There is a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim that you'll get schar for both in this world and in the next world. And this is a very beautiful idea that's brought down from the Sefer Shalmei Nedarim, who says, well, we pointed out it yesterday, shir, that Bikur Cholim ain't lo shir, there's no shir to Bikur Cholim, so why wasn't that included in Eilu Dvarim Shein Lahem Shir, the famous Mishnah that tells us that the following things don't have a shir. So I pointed out yesterday that that's because the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim falls under the category of Milas Chasodim, and Eilu Dvarim Shein Lahem Shir includes Bikur Cholim. But it also says over there, Eilu Dvarim Shalom B'chel Perosim B'lozeh, Mekayim Keren Kiemetz L'Olam Haba, Be'eluhin Gemilus Chasodim. So again, Bikur Cholim is a type of Gemilus Chasodim. So that's why now the Gemara is telling us that Rav says, Vim Bikur Mascharo, what's his schar in this world? Because in addition to the Keren Kiemes Olam Haba, you also have schar in this world. And that also makes sense. Midah Keneged Midah, you help the person in this world. You also help him spiritually by going to hopefully go and visit him to make him understand what's important in life, to give him appropriate help in correcting things that he may have done both in a physical and in a spiritual way wrong. So you're helping him both in this world and the world to come. So therefore it's Midah Keneged Midah that you should be rewarded in this world as well. And that's what Rav means when he says Mascharo in this world, Mascharo Ba'olam Hazeh. And this is also based upon the pasuk Hashem Yishmereyu v'chayeyu v'ushar ba'aretz. And the end of the pasuk says v'al titneyu b'nevashoyvav. So what does this pasuk with Tehillim mean? So the first part, Hashem Yishmereyu, Hashem should protect you. That means mi'etzahara, that Hashem will protect you from the etzahara. A person would lose out to the etzahara all the time. You need Hashem's help in defeating the etzahara. V'chayeyu, and Hashem will give you life minhayisurim from all the punishments that you would get. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you out from these sufferings and afflictions that you would be getting. V'ushar ba'aretz, the pasuk continues, shu kakol miskabdim bo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant you the fact that everybody will think highly of you and that everybody will be happy with you. V'al titneyu b'nefesh ha'ivav, the end of the pasuk means that Hashem will not give you over to the enemies, she is dan lo reim, that you'll have friends and not enemies. Now, what does this mean? That you'll have friends and not enemies? This is like Kinamon Sheripu Es Tzarato. This is the famous story of Naaman. He was a general for Aram, and he had a terrible tzaras affliction. And he went to all the doctors of the world and wasn't able to get healed. And somebody told him, a young Jewish maidservant told him that there's this great Jewish man, Elisha HaNavi, who would be able to heal you. So Naaman tries, he goes there. And he goes to Elisha to go to get healed. But Elisha doesn't even meet with him. Elisha just sends out, according to some, he sends out this young girl, to go and tell him. Or some say that he sent out a different person to go and tell Naaman, go and bathe in the Yarden, in the river Yarden. Go and be tovel there 7 times, and you will be healed miraculously. Now, Naaman's very upset. He says, who does he think he is that he doesn't meet with me? I'm the great Naaman. I'm the great general. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained, that was actually part of the reform more for Naaman, that he should realize that he's not such an important person, that he was a big Baal Gaiva, and that he should, in fact, realize that Elisha didn't even want to meet with him. He says, you're not even important enough that I should meet with you. So that was part of the message, and he ultimately got it. Naaman became a righteous Gentile. He understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and he just said, listen, I have to go back to the king and bow down in front of him, and when he's bending to the Avodah Zarah, so it looks like I'm worshiping the Avodah Zarah, but I'm really not. And Elisha told him, yeah, it's okay, don't worry about that. You'll be a righteous Gentile. And he was. So he had friends, Kinaman, just like Naaman had friends, Sheribu es Sarato, that helped him out, get out of this Tsaras, and he understood that those friends saved him, so too, your promise will be in this pasuk of Tehillim that you will have friends that will be good to you. You won't be handed over to your enemies. Now, what does that mean? You shouldn't have reyim. Reyim is a play on the word reyim is friends, but it's also ra. Reyim could be ra. So you won't have bad friends, like, unfortunately, Kiruchovim, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, Kiruchovim Shechilku Es Machuso. When Shlomo passed away, so Ruchovim took over. But Ruchovim, as we'll see in the Gemara in a second, unfortunately didn't do well. And the kingdom was split between him and Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeravim ben Nevat was originally a big tzaddik, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, and unfortunately his gaiva overcame him, and he ended up going off the derech, and he made the northern kingdom worship of Avodah Zarah. The Shnei Temus Yonah that he put up in different parts of the Ten Shvatim's land, one in Don and one in the Shomron. So they unfortunately originally were for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but then they ultimately came to be worshipped as Avodah Zarah. And Rehovim and Yeravim split the land, and Yeravim was able to be successful in splitting off Eretz Yisrael into the northern kingdom and Malchus Yehuda for Rehovim by the fact that Rehovim had bad friends. Now, what is this referring to? Tanya, we learn the following in the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar told us, "Im yom lucha yilodim b'nei uzakenim sisar shmal uzakenim v'al tishmal yilodim." If you have advisors who are young and advisors who are old, so if the advisors who are old tell you to go and destroy, and the advisors that are young tell you to go and build, better off listening to the more sage and older advisors and destroy, and not listen to the younger advisors that tell you to build, because their building is actually a destruction. Shabinyan Yaladim Stira, that the building of these young advisors to Rehovim actually was a terrible thing. Ustira Zekanim, and that which the older people, the proper, more sage advisors tell you to destroy something, that actually will result in a binyan. And the similar dover, and the way to remember this is Nebuch Rehovim ben Shlomo, the Maisa that happened with Rehovim ben Shlomo. Now, this is a beautiful Marsha that explains this outside before we go and see inside in what happened with Rehovim. So the Marsha tells us that the marshal here is to a person who has a single-story building and he wants to add on a second story. So the impetuous younger person will tell him, I just build a second story. And what will happen? The foundation can't hold the second story. So not only will the second story not be good, but it will knock down and it will break the first story building. So the impetuous younger people say, yeah, just build a second story. And that will cause the destruction not only of not having a second story, but it will also break your first story. Whereas the more sage, wizened, older people will advise you, listen, the infrastructure on the bottom can't hold the top level. You're going to have to either destroy the bottom level or build it up in some way. That will take time, but you'll build up the bottom level, and now you'll be able to successfully, eventually, build a second story. And that's what the Maharsha says happened over here. Because the Maisa with Rehovim goes as follows. If you look in the Navi, in Malachim, in Perek Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, it tells us the story there, Malachim Aleph, that after Shlomo Melech died, so the people were very, very heavily taxed on the Shlomo Melech, but Shlomo Melech had carried off. Shlomo Melech was doing so many wonderful things that people didn't mind being taxed by him, but knew it was a very heavy taxation. And when Shlomo died, so they wanted a little bit of relief. So the older, wiser sages that advised Shlomo told Rehovim, listen, first, you have to prove that you're like your father. Once you prove you're like your father, then the people will accept a heavy taxation for you because they know you're going to use the money for very good things and build and build and build. But first, you got to relax a little bit the taxation so the people can get to know you. They'll be happy with you because you relax the taxation. And then ultimately, you can tax them higher and they'll accept it. That's what the older advisor said. But Rehovim's friends, his younger advisor, said, what are you listening to these older guys for? Tax away. And tell him, oh, you think my father Shlomo tax you heavily? I'll show you what heavy taxing is. And Rehovim liked that idea and he listened to the younger inexperienced advisors, and he increased the taxes on the people, and the people rebelled. And Yerovam ben Nevat ultimately broke away the 10 northern tribes, the Malchus Yisrael, and Rehoboam was only left with essentially Malchus Yehuda. So that's the story over here that the Gemara is telling us. You shouldn't have friends like Rehoboam had friends because they were really enemies, they were bad, and you should have friends like Naaman, this young girl who brought the news to Naaman about Elisha, and then either she or someone else told Naaman, Elisha's telling you, go and tovel in the Yarden, he's doing this for you. He doesn't need your thanks, he doesn't need your arrogance, he just wants you to go and be tovel in the Yarden. So if you do that, you'll be better. And you see that friends like that are what a person needs to survive in this world. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Shisha b'rei de Rav Idi, Rav Shisha b'rei de Rav Idi said, Lo lis od, that's the girsa that we have. In a moment, I'll say a girsa of lo lis or, inish kitzira. The word kitzira means chola. The Nemuke Yosef says this, but you also see this in Tagos, the Siyunim, and the Likuti Rashi. They all say the word kitzira is a reference to a sick person. So one should not lis od. Lis od, one of the explanations of lis od is to be soed. You can see this in the Likuti Rashi. It means to support. Somech, betoshus kochol. If the person is weak, so you shouldn't go and support them, go and visit them. Others suggest that the word is lisor, it means to investigate. Don't go and investigate them during the first 3 hours of the day. I mentioned this yesterday, and here's the Gemara that I said we'll discuss it. So don't go and visit a sick person. Lo b'tlos shoy kod mayaisa. Don't go in the first 3 hours of the morning. Lo b'tlos shoy basraisa diyoma, and not in the last 3 hours of the day. So again, the day has 12 hours. Don't go visit the first 3 hours, and don't go visit the last 3 hours. Ki hechi delo leisach daite min rachmi, because in both of these situations, you're not going to dive into Hashem for mercy for the sick person. Why not in the first 3 hours? Why not in the last 3 hours? Flashoy kod ma'isa, in the first 3 hours of the day, ralcha daite, he looks great, right? Person has hopefully a half decent night's sleep. He hasn't been mutchered yet. He hasn't gone for a lot of tests. He hasn't been given painful therapies. So he's going to look relatively good. If you go visit him at that point in time, you can say, ah, Baruch Hashem, this guy's well on his way to healing. I don't want to, quote, waste my Misha Beirachs, my Tehillim, on such a healthy person. I'll save them for the sick people. And therefore, you won't daven for him. If you go the last 3 hours of the day, basraisa, tofkik chulshe, you're going to say, oi, Nebuch, this guy looks terrible. There's no way he's going to survive. It's a tvilas shav for me to daven for him. I'll take him off the beak of holiness for the wrong reason, so to say, that he's going to die anyway. So it doesn't pay. There's no sense in us davening for him. So therefore, don't go visit the first 3 hours of the day or last 3 hours of the day, because those are the times when you're not going to daven so intensely for the person, because you're going to falsely think he's too healthy, or you're going to falsely think he's too sick. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that in this situation, however, when there are visiting hours in the hospital, you should follow the visiting hours in the hospital. You don't do this if there are no alternatives. So if the hospital visiting hours are only during certain times, you can only make it during certain times. So obviously, it's much better to go and visit a person in person, where again, it's good for that person. I stress again, you have to really ask the person, does he want visitors, especially if he's a hospitalized person, or if he's in the privacy of his home, he may not want visitors, he doesn't want to entertain. And therefore, you should always reach out and make sure that your visit is truly appreciated. And sometimes the person who's sick isn't the best one to make that answer. It would be the spouse or the children. They need to also make sure that the sick person is really being best taken care of. Maybe they know it's actually better or not better for him to have visitors, and therefore you should always seek out that advice. Now, if a person can't go in person, I mentioned today with technology, there's emails, there's all sorts of other ways that you can go and show the person that you're concerned about them, which is one of the purposes of Bikur Cholim. They should know that a whole lot of people care about them. And as well today with FaceTime and other types of technologies that you can actually see the person, so you might even accomplish more than just a phone call. And the post can bring down, and in my Sefer I have actually translated many of those original tshuvos from Rav Moshe and from Rav Avadia Yosef, both Zatzal, and there certainly is a benefit from going to visit a person in person, more so than by a telephone call, by a postcard, or by any other form of communication with that person. But if you can't go, or certainly if that many say that if you've gone once, then the second time you already know how sick they are. Second time can be with a phone call or with an email, etc. But certainly, even if you can't go the first time, somebody lives in Eretz Yisrael and you're here, etc. So then, a email, technology, any other form of communication with the person, certainly to show them that you're caring about them and davening for them, is certainly part of the mitzvah. one last thought on this idea of visiting in the first 3 hours of the day or the last 3 hours of the day, that's not optimal. So the Rambam, who was a doctor, of course, says that that's because that's when the doctors make rounds. And therefore, the doctors are busy with the patient at that point. If you're going there, you're going to disturb the doctor's ability to care for the patient. And then this is another very, very important thing I always tell visitors, that you have to be extremely careful that when the doctor or the nurses are with the patient, you leave the room. If you're there first and they come in, you leave the room, because they'll either rush through what they're supposed to be doing, or they won't come and do it now, and maybe they won't have another opportunity to do it later on. Plus, they may be doing things that cause the patient to either be undressed or to cause the patient to be in pain, and the patient doesn't want you there at that point in time. So as soon as a doctor or nurse comes into the room, again, unless you are the child or somebody else that's participating in the actual care of the patient and need to be there, you should excuse yourself and leave, either permanently or you'll come back later on. Likewise, if the Rav comes into the room to visit the patient, so the Rav may have some very, very difficult conversations with the patient. The patient may be questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could he do this? The patient may have serious Shalom Bayis problems. The patient may have serious will-related problems that they need the Rav's advice for. And therefore, when the Rav comes into the room, or I would say even an attorney comes into the room to deal with such financial matters, that everybody in the room needs to know that that's not the place for them to be. And Nebuch, I unfortunately have many situations in mind that happened to me where I would go into a room and the family or the other people are still sitting there and they shouldn't be. And I tell them, please leave. I need to talk to the patient. And if the patient wishes them to be there, the patient can always say, or I ask the patient, would you like to do it in private? When I ask the patient in private, do you want these other people here when we have these discussions about your treatment, about your prognosis? And if he says yes, of course, we'll have those other people there. But often they say, no, that's my cousin. I don't want him here for these decisions. That's my next-door neighbor. He's a very nice guy, but I don't want him here for those decisions. So these are very, very important ideas. And the Rambam explains, that's why don't visit during those times, because the patient is being cared for during those times, and we have to make sure that the patient has the optimal care. Your visit is very, very important and very nice, but not at the expense of the patient. Mark Atinjan says, I'm a Ravin, I'm a Rav. Ravin says the name of Rav. Minayin Shakodesh Baruch Hu Zon Esachole. How do we see that Hakodesh Baruch Hu goes and heals the sick person? He supports the sick person. Shinema, because the Pasuk says, Hashem Yisodeno Aleris Devoy, Evagomer. And the end of the Pasuk is, Kol Mishkavo Hafachto Bilchoyo. Now, what does this Pasuk mean? So this idea of Yisodenu is supporting Yisod, which means supplying that person with everything that they need. Again, as Rashi says elsewhere, Somech Bitoshus Kocho, and he brings down from the Rabbeinu Yaakov, which is the Rabbeinu Tam, Sower Targumo Shol Pokate. It means that he comes to visit, Kolom Mevaker. And that's the Lashon here. Instead of Yisod, Yisodenu, it's Yisorenu, that he goes to go and visit and take care of the needs of the sick person. As it says in Shmuel Aleph, Perkid Zayin, Metagaminum there, Be'esachicha Tisoyer Lishalim. And according to this Girsa, it should be Altikri Yisodenu Elo Yisorenu. Orenu. This is based upon the Gemara in Shabbos and Rashi's interpretation over here in the Likutei Rashi. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, another statement from Ravin Amarav, Yama Ravin Amarav, Minayin Shashchina Shiruyo Lamala Mimin Tatsu Shalal Chole. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence? We know God is everywhere. I always say the joke that every child knows Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is really everywhere. So that's true. It's obviously very true. But we know that the Shechina's presence is in a higher level, whatever that exactly means, in certain places. Inside the Kodesh Kodashim, there's more Shechina's presence than in the Heichal, in the Kodesh, which is more than in the Azara, which is more than Yerushalayim, which is more than Eretz Yisrael, which is more than Chutz Laaretz. So the Shechina's presence is concentrated, whatever that exactly means, in certain places. One of the places where the Shechina's presence is especially felt is at the bedside, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there. That's why I always tell people, you have to be extremely careful in saying anything wrong at the bedside. If you say Lashon Hara at the bedside, if you say Nivul Peh, Rachmana Litzlan at the bedside, you say a dirty joke at the bedside. So all of these things sound like they're, oh, the Chol is going to get a lot better faster because I tell him this joke. And Rachmana Litzlan, if you tell him that Lashon Hara, he's going to be happy about it. Chas v'shalom, that's the worst thing you can do. A person sins in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's brought down that a person sins Paltrum Shomelech, if you sin in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash area, it's a much bigger sin than sinning outside Yerushalayim. If you sin in Yerushalayim, it's worse than sinning outside Yerushalayim. If you sin outside Eretz Yisrael, it's not as bad, Kaviyochel, as sinning in Eretz Yisrael. So too, if you're by the bedside, the Shechina is there, so you have to be very careful with everything that you do. And it says the Shechina's presence is at the bedside. How do we know that? Rav Amarav tells us, based upon this passage, Nemar, Hashem Yisodenu, Erez Devoy, Eretz Devoy means at the sick bed of the sick person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is strongly magnified over there. This has a lach l'maisa ramifications in terms of where you sit. Now, today, nobody's sitting on the floor. Nobody's lying down on the ground. So people are more elevated. But technically, it's brought down that you shouldn't stand at the head of the person because you're standing, so to say, above the Shekhinah. And again, a person should try to understand that the Shekhinah's presence is there. That's the critical factor over there, not so much to Lamaisa, where we sit, but the minhag is you don't sit above the head of the patient. Again, unless you're providing care to the patient, you're combing the hair, you're washing the hair, that's a different story. But otherwise, you sit towards the side of the patient and you don't sit, quote, above the patient. Okay. Mark continues with a brisa that supports what Rav and Amar Rav said. Tani Nami Hachi, the brisa says, Hanich Nesalvakar Secholah. If you go and visit a Cholah. Now, we've always been using the term Cholah over here for the masculine, but the din applies for the Cholah as well. So, Cholah, Cholah, the din is the same. Lo Yeshev, Lo Agabi Amito. You don't sit on the bed itself. The Lo Agabi Safsol, nor on a bench. Lo Agabi Kisa, or in a chair. Because, again, the Cholah in those days was lying on the floor. So, you shouldn't be sitting above him because the Shechina is, so to say, down there on the floor with the sick person. You shouldn't be sitting above the Shechina. Ella, what should you do? Ella Misate, you should cover yourself up. You put your cloak over your head. It's a sign of cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we put a talus over head when we say Shemoneh Esrei or other parts of the davening. The Yoshev Al Gabi Karka, you should also sit on the karka. Again, today, people are in a bed. Nobody's really lying on the floor, so this doesn't apply halacha l'maisa that you have to sit on the floor. But the idea here is the same. Because the Shechina's presence is in a higher sense over there, and therefore you shouldn't be above the Shechina's presence. Again, this pasuk, this critically important pasuk from Tehillim, Perek Memalad, pasuk Dalad, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is felt at the bedside of the sick patient. Since we had this member from Rav and Amar Rav, we'll have another member that's totally unrelated to Bikur Cholim, and that is V'Amar Rav and Amar Rav. Rav and Amar Rav tells us, Mitra B'mai Rav, if you have rain in Eretz Yisrael, then, now there are two ways to read this, either Sahada Rabba, that is a great proof that the Pras is going to have a lot of rain in it, because the rains from Eretz Yisrael filter down into the Pras, the river Euphrates, the river Pras, and therefore it's going to be very swollen. That's one way to read this. Sahada Rabba, it is a great proof that Pras will be swollen. Or others read it, no, Sahada, that's a proof that Rabba Pras, that the Pras river will be swollen from all the rains that are coming from Eretz Yisrael. Now, this has a loch l'maisa ramifications because the din is, and the Ran goes through this on the Omid Beis in very great detail, to a certain extent even on the Omid Aleph as well, but in the Omid Beis, he has a whole big discussion about the practical ramifications, which we're not going to deal with so much. It's not really to do with Bikur Cholim. This is brought in as an aside, since it was another member in the name of Rav and Amar Rav, so therefore it's brought in, but we'll learn it, but we won't learn in the great depth. So this din has to do with whether you're allowed to go and be tovel in such a moving body of water. The din is that when you're tovel in a mikvah, classical mikvahs that we have, so you'll know that they're always plastered very, very well, and there's no leakage from them. If you have leakage from the mikvah, it passels the mikvah because the water is going in and out, and therefore, that's no good. The mikvah has to be sealed, and Ashboren is a mikvah, a gathering of 40 saw of water that, of course, is not drawn water, it's rainwater, but that water is not allowed to move. It can't be zochalin. And if you're tovel in a Ashboren that is moving, the tefillah doesn't count. As opposed to a mayon. A mayon is a flowing body of water. That is a spring. That is a river. That's a moving body of water that you can be tovel in even though it's moving. So there's a huge difference whether you're dealing with rainwater. Rainwater is regular ashborin, mikvah water, as opposed to well water, spring water that has a mayon, a spring that's coming up from the ground that is its source and not the rain. So rain filled mikvos cannot be moving, whereas a well or a spring has its source from the ground is allowed to be flowing water. So you cannot be tovel in an ashbar, in a mikvah that has moving water. So how do we view a regular river? So based upon what Rav and Amar Rav tells us, that the rain in Eretz Yisrael caused the Euphrates, the Pras, to swell up, and therefore one would not be allowed to go and tovel in the Euphrates because it is rain and it can't be flowing. It's not coming from the ground. But Shmuel disagrees with this statement of Rav and Amar Rav. Upliga de Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel here tells us, Nara, a river, mikipe misbarach. It's always going to have its flow of water, as the Mefarish tells us over here, Shenoveya, this flow of water comes migidosav, from its internal sources, velo mime gishamim, and not from rainwater. So therefore, Shmuel is telling us that the Euphrates, when it gets very swollen with the rainwater, that's not a problem. Because even though there's rain that's coming in here, there's more that's coming in from the ground. As the Ran tells us over here, that even though there's a lot of rain here, shanu roim, shagishamim yordim, naharos bisrabim, and we see that the river is swelling up, nevertheless, ikar ribuyon mimikoron, the critical mass of the water of the Euphrates is still coming from its source. And he brings out the Gemara in Tainis that says, "En l'chol kol tefach b'tefach yori milamala." For every inch of rain that comes down from above, shein to home ola likroso tfochayim, that there isn't from the source of this river 2 inches of water that come up from the bottom. So as much rain as there may be, there's still more coming from the source. So the nafgamina over here would be that Shmuel would say that you're allowed to be tovel in the flowing Euphrates, because even though it's a lot of rain there, there's even more coming from the source, and this is still spring water. Whereas Rav would say you wouldn't be allowed to. Now, the Gemara notes, upligi the Shmuel, the Shmuel. Shmuel himself seems to argue with himself, because also we see the Shmuel said, the Omer Shmuel, ein amayim mitarin mizochlin, that you can't go and use flowing water to be tovel in, and we turn to Mem Omid Beis. Ella, the only time you could be tovel in the pras is Ella pras in the Euphrates, biyomei Tishrei bilvad, only during the days of Tishrei bilvad. Now, why during Tishrei? So here, Shmuel's opinion is as follows. Top rod. Lefisha eino eis gishomim. In the month of Tishrei, it's not raining in Eretz Yisrael. Below zman hafshara shlogim. And it's also not the time that the snows are melting, and that could be another cause of non-well spring water flowing. And therefore, the Ran tells us, V'lola meisar kol anaharos, this Gemara is not coming to teach a Shmuel telling us over here that all of the rivers of the world, chutz mipras, are going to be aser. Ella, it's coming to teach us, V'lola lemeisar na mipras b'chol ha'shana, it's not coming to tell us that the price is no good for the rest of the year. Ella, it's coming to teach us, B'yomei Tishrei, aser, it's coming to specifically tell us about the month of Tishrei. D'kivon d'kulo chashosha mishum shemer yarbu notvim al hazochalim, because this concern of Shmuel is that the rainwater is going to overcome the natural springs and wells of the river, and therefore, kol she'eno b'kiyim b'pras, if you're not certain about the Euphrates, b'yomei Tishrei, kamehi aliyaso, how much it's above its normal levels, or v'chein b'shar naharos, but other rivers, v'yodin anu b'hem, shel olam eno mismayit mishur kach, or the other rivers that you know that they're not going to be below this level all year long, even as a very dry season, we never see this happening, except it never goes below this level. So then you do not have to be concerned. So you don't have to be concerned the Euphrates during Tishrei, but Lav Dafka only then, but certainly then, and other rivers as well. If you know for a fact that it's not due to the rainwater, in Tishrei, you can guarantee that the rainwater in the process is not the major source of the water, so then you can be tovel then. So he only allowed people to be tovel in the pras b'yomei Tishrei bilvad, because then he could be certain that the well water, the spring water, was the majority and not the rain. His father, Avu Shmuel, avad l'hon mikvos lebante b'yomei Nisan u'mapse b'yomei Tishrei. His father, Shmuel's father, would go make for the sisters of Shmuel, Avu, the Shmuel's daughters, he would go make for them mikvos during the month of Nisan, because then he wouldn't let them go and be tovel in the pras, because he was concerned that maybe the pras then would have more rainwater than it would have from its own springs. And likewise, during the month of Tishrei, he specifically made for them machatzolos, those are mats. And the Rush says, why did he make these mats? So in Dibra Maschil, the Rush says, they would go and be tovel in the Nahar, in the Euphrates then, while you also smachtzolos sevivos litznius. So you put these mats around them so they were in public. So they were like a curtain around there so they could go and be tovel without having anybody see them. Alternatively, inami, tachas kipos raglaim, he would put the mats underneath their feet, mimnei hatit, because there was mud at the bottom of the Euphrates, and he wanted to make sure that they weren't so sunk into the mud that they weren't called being tovel, and that it would be a chatzitza. Shelo yichotz, it shouldn't be a chatzitza there from the mud to the water coming in. So during the month of Tishrei, he did allow them to be tovel in the Euphrates, like his son Shmuel had paskin, and he made bats for them either for tznius purposes or to prevent a chatzitza. One last statement over here, and then we'll conclude today's shir. Amar Rav Yami, Amar Rav. Rav Yami said the name of Rav. My disiv, what does the pasuk mean? This is a pasuk from Yecheskel, where it tells us, Dechsiv. Yecheskel was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do certain things to show Klal Yisrael what the future would behold for them. V'ata ben Adam. So Yecheskel is always referred to as Ben Adam. Asay l'cha klei gola. Go make for yourselves these implements of the golus, and this will show Klal Yisrael, hey, you're going to go into golus. And what were these implements? What were these kalim? Zumner. He told them to make a lamp. Uka'ara, a bowl. And shatiach. The Mefarish says shatiach is or lechol olav, some sort of a leather that they would eat off. And the Tosu says over here shatiach is or mevushal, it was some sort of a cooked hide. Sha'och olav, like the Mefarish, they would eat off it. And they would carry it with them. And also, over a drachim imam. So Yecheskel was telling the people, hey, you're going into Golus. Prepare yourself so you don't have to have none of the implements that are needed when you're going into Golus. And the Rosh says that this shatiach is or lishin olav. It's like a sleeping bag. It was a leather that they would sleep on. So Yecheskel was being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show the people that Nebuch, you're going into Golus, and prepare for your stay in Golus. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir.